There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
The kettle's boiled, Vic.
Great. Perfect timing. Just a dash of milk for me, please, mate.
Here you go. Shall we get started, then?
Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning and said, I'm never drinking again, and then found yourself waving 50 bucks at a barman by happy hour?
Are you wondering why everyone else can stop at one, while you head to a dodgy after party with a weird bloke called Disco Dave? If so, it might be time to take a deeper look at your relationship with your reliable social crutch, alcohol.
On each episode, we'll investigate our own dysfunctional dealings with booze and find out if it's possible to stop this deeply ingrained habit before things get too messy.
Yep, we're going to open up a shame shed of humiliating drinking stories to help you understand why waking up from a booze coma each weekend with a kebab sticking out of your top pocket might actually be negatively impacting your health.
Hamish and I are here to delve into what it's like being sober, an unwanted warts and all look into why giving up those cheeky pints or putting down those mummy wines will make you feel happier, help your anxiety and mental health, and turn you into the most sparkly, authentic version of you.
Won't that mean I become boring though, Vic?
Well, Hamish, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm Victoria Vanstone.
I'm Hamish Adams-Cairns.
And this is Sober Awkward.
Dancing around my kitchen table with Liz, my son giggling, dogs doing anything, booking a holiday, ticking off a to-do list, live theatre, and cricket, cricket, cricket. Those are what make me happy. What makes you happy, Vic?
Well, it's funny, I've only just read yours, and actually mine are almost exactly the same.
Cricket.
Apart from the cricket. I can't believe you didn't have Craig David in there.
Well, I dancing around the kitchen with Liz.
Oh, it's generally to Craig David.
I don't think
David.
I need to underline the fact that's obviously to Craig David. Funny enough, about to start his book this week.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's weird, it's taking me this long.
I don't need a report on how that book's going.
I could do a whole episode on it.
No, please.
This episode is about a book I just finished. Yeah. I could do, every time I read a book, I do an episode about it. It's a great idea. Yeah, I could do a solo episode if you want to do it.
Yeah, you could do a solo episode on that one. Just pretend someone's listening and then we won't release it.
No listens that week.
No listens.
It's too niche.
I'll be like, Hamish, what's going on here? It's my Craig David episode. Yeah.
Go on, what makes
my
you happy?
My favourite things that make me happy. Walking up mountains listening to Sober Awkward. I know that sounds very self-indulgent.
Is it your favourite podcast?
It's my favourite podcast. And I laugh at my own jokes all the way through.
When I listen to it, I'm always like, I know what I'd say here. And then I say it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That is me.
I do that. I think, oh, I wish I would have said this. And I say it. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, it's sad.
No, because I'm usually listening for those ums and arms and the edits and stuff. Yeah. But I do enjoy going for a walk and listening to it on the day it's released, just because I can't remember what I've said. Yeah. And I want to know whether it's funny or not. And generally it is, so I enjoy my walk.
It's your favourite podcast and you find yourself funny.
Yeah,
great.
Very self-indulgent. Looking at myself in the mirror? No, I'm joking about that one. Haven't put that one down. That's not my favourite thing to do. Dancing to house music on my deck, which I did a big session on Saturday night. The kids think I'm mad. I put really, really loud house music on and stomp around on the deck for an hour.
Okay.
It's quite good exercise, actually. They join in for about the first 10 minutes, then they're like, God, she's still going. What is she doing? I like good spicy food. Mm. I like books. I like tickle giggles. Just the sound of a child being tickled is just my favourite sound in the world. Dog walks on the beach, seeing my parents cuddle.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I like seeing my parents holding hands and having a snuggle. I think that's very sweet. Eating peanut butter from the jar, which I just did then very quickly while you were out of the room. Coffee's in bed. I won't get out of bed until I have my coffee. That's my favourite thing. And my husband's hairy back.
Sweet.
They're the things that make me happy, Hamish.
We've also asked Alan what his favourite things are. We've not heard it yet. I reckon it'll be weird.
Yeah, let's play it now.
Being on my own.
Just coming back to what you said there, your favourite noise. Can I just pause on that for a second? Because I've thought about this quite a lot. A golf ball being hit.
Oh, yes.
A can of tennis balls being opened. Oh, and that one's a double whammy because it's also one of my favourite smells.
Okay.
Any others you can think of?
Well, one of my favourite sounds at the market is a very funny story. I used to, every week I'd go to this market in Sydney where I was working. I was selling jewellery. And every week I'd be looking up at the sky going, oh, I think there's a storm coming. Even if it was a really clear sky, I'd be like, what's going on here? And the guy would look at me. Every week I did this. And he was the apple seller. And it was him pouring the apples out of the barrels. It made like a thunder sound. And I'd be like, there's a storm coming. He'd be like, no, no, Vic. It's me putting the apples out like I do every week. But it is a lovely sound, apples being poured out.
Nice.
My other favourite sound, Hamish, which has always been my favourite sound from growing up, is the sound of a train passing in the distance. It's like a hot summer's day in England, and I used to be able to hear the train station, the trains going up to London, especially if they did a toot toot, Hamish. That really turned me on.
I've got a couple that remind me of England. Pigeons outside the bedroom window cooing.
Yeah.
I love that noise. Yes. I know people find that annoying, that noise.
Yeah.
I really like it because it makes me think of I'm in home at my bed.
Yeah.
And the other one, this was so good. I spoke to someone on WhatsApp the other day and I was wearing headphones and they were putting their welly boots on then walking, they lived in the country, then walking outside on gravel to take their dog for a walk and it was raining.
Yes.
So it was the gravel, it was the rain on the leaves.
That's a lovely
sound. And I was
like,
that is England.
That's why I love the Adam Buxton podcast, is because at the beginning he's out with his dog. What's his dog's name? Rosie.
Rosie.
Yeah. So he's out with his dog, Rosie, and he records the beginning of the podcast in Norfolk. It's usually raining. There's usually a bit of wind. The dog runs off to get a ball and disappears sometimes. And it is the coziest. Mm. In fact, every point in that podcast that I love are the bits like when he's making tea and you can hear the spoon inside the teacup. That's releasing dopamine for me, Hamish, those sort of noises. Those noises that bring back memories, I guess, is what they are. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what this episode is all about. It is about happiness and dopamine more specifically.
We're going to explore what dopamine is, the role it plays in addiction, and its importance in maintaining our sobriety.
Although we've mentioned dopamine before, we haven't really delved into just how integral it is to addictions of all sorts. Also, I've just read a book on it. Okay, so the book is called Dopamine Nation. It's by Anna Lemke, if you're wondering, Dr. Anna Lemke. And so this is my opportunity to share with you some of the lessons that I've learned. She is the medical director of addiction medicine at Stanford, so she really knows what she's talking about. Don't listen to this episode and then think you don't need to read the book. I'm going to do a really bad job of rehashing years worth of her research, but I will do my best. Still go read that book because it is fantastic.
Okay. Highly recommend that then.
Yes.
There is no way we can do that book proper justice in just one episode. So as always, let us remind you that we are not doctors, although I can be a sexy doctor on demand, Hamish.
Do I want to demand this?
You
is
do
it a
not.
Voice thing, no, or is it an outfit?
Private, it's a private thing, it's an outfit. My husband wishes that I did that. It's just a joke. I've never done that in my life. Although I used to hate it at fancy dress parties, right? I used to go to a fancy dress party and they'd say it's a theme like the 70s or whatever. And all the girls would either dress up as like devils or
cats.
Nurses or cats and be all sexy. And once I remember I went as Terry Wogan.
Yes.
Another one I went as a farmer. Another one I went as like a grumpy old man, like an old man with a walking stick. So I never went for the sexy look. And I always used to end up looking like a right freak.
Yeah, but I want to talk to that girl.
Okay, good, because the other girls were just always, they'd always got to be snogging each other and trying to show off for the boys, and I just thought, oh, for God's sake, stop doing that.
Well, that ends, doesn't it? Girls kissing each other for attention at parties.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen so much now. Barbecues at your house.
No, I might bring it back.
Yeah, try it. Don't warn the girl.
Oh, do you remember when we used to snog each other at parties?
No, just lean in and kiss Liz the next time we're here and see if it snowballs.
You can film it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of rubs off when you leave university,
yeah,
isn't it?
Isn't it?
I actually never snogged another girl in my life.
Never?
No, never. Don't know why.
Okay, so Liz will be your first.
So I'm ready. Pucker up, Lizzie.
So dopamine, what is it? A basic definition would be that it is a basic definition that I say neurotransmitter.
Yeah.
I'm assuming such a high level of intellect.
Yeah.
Okay, so a basic definition would be that it's a neurotransmitter and hormone released in the brain. Although many regard it as the so-called happy hormone, dopamine does not give us pleasure itself, as it's commonly thought. Dopamine motivates us to do things we think will bring pleasure. So as the brain's major reward and pleasure neurotransmitter, it's what drives us to seek pizza when we're hungry and sex when we're aroused. The part of the brain where this pleasure is released is actually incredibly close to where we release pain as well, and we'll get into that a little more later. This is increasingly important as we understand addiction further.
Okay, so from it sounds like having high levels of dopamine sounds like a bloody good time, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And therein lies the role that it plays in addiction. The more dopamine a drug or behaviour releases, the more addictive it probably is. So, for example, chocolate increases dopamine above baseline about 50%. Sex is 100%, nicotine 150%, and amphetamines are about 1,000%.
1,000%. I think the sex going up 100%, I think that depends on who you're having sex with, though, doesn't
it? Good point.
Yes.
Good point.
Right, let me get this right. Drugs and alcohol lead to a spike in your dopamine levels, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And as we've already established, high levels of dopamine is a good thing, right?
To an extent, yes.
So what's the problem?
Okay, so allow me to introduce you to a wonderful term called the dopamine deficit. In much the same way sober curious was the term that opened up your mind, Vic, dopamine deficit has answered a lot of questions for me. Our brains, being the natural party poopers that they are always fighting to remain chemically balanced. Imagine a weighted scale, okay? What goes up must come down. The further the scale tips to the side of high dopamine levels, the further it must tip the other way to even things up. This is what many of us feel as a hangover or a come down.
So even if you're not drinking, you might feel this low after scrolling through Instagram for an extended period of time. The small hits of dopamine you get from social media are counteracted soon after.
Exactly. So, Vic, talk me through your feelings of a particularly intense come down or hangover. What does Vic in a dopamine deficit look like?
Well, as a drinker, I would describe myself as a dopamine hunter. I don't know whether
yes.
that's a term, but I was definitely looking for a hit.
And I reckon probably still in most people's sobriety, they're on the hunt for the dopamine hit they're not getting from alcohol.
Yes, in a different form. If I didn't get the effect I wanted, I was searching for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of dopamine deficit for me meant that I was on a general downer.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had to have something else to prop up either my personality or my social life.
Mm-hmm.
I often felt depressed if I was on a come down. I was looking for something to replace the high. I felt like my life was generally rubbish. I felt unmotivated, a bit useless, lethargic. I was bored and had low self-worth. So all of the things I felt on a come down were the things that you feel when you're depressed, pretty much.
Yep.
Similar feelings. I guess it's that chemical imbalance happening in my brain. The lack of something that I knew was going to get me high made me want it more.
That makes sense.
I think that's addiction probably summed up right there, isn't
yep.
it, Hamish? What about you?
So I obviously felt the same feelings as anyone in a hangover: tiredness, headaches, regret, generally hating my life. But allow me to focus on two more interesting points when it comes to dopamine. So the first is what we consume in these moments. Often it's foods that are high in sugar. I remember we talked about Coke being the black doctor, or chocolate ice cream to clear the head. Also, many of us took the route of drinking our way out of a hangover, hair of the dog. Do you actually know why we say hair of the dog?
No, I've always wondered what.
As we say hair of the dog.
Our dog, Sandy, has just knocked on the door. Come on, Sandy. Here you go. Here she's coming in. Sandy! Hello. Come on, sit up here.
We talked about Rosie. She got jealous.
Yeah,
she?
We talked about the Rosie dog from Adam Buxton. Now Sandy's here. I'll put a photo on. She's looking at me like, oh, thank you. Come on then. You can come and sit up here. Come on in. Oh, she's such a lovely girl. Anyway, yes, so, hair of the dog.
Do you know why it's hair of the dog?
No, never. I've never questioned that expression for some reason.
I know,
reason.
Nor have I. So weird. I've done a bit of research. Originally, the expression referred to a method of treating a rabid dog bite.
Right.
Where the hair from the dog was placed in the wound.
Right, that's odd.
So in that sense, having another drink or any drink is like taking hair from the dog that bit you.
Wow, okay, that's interesting. I always wondered.
I don't know if it works.
Yeah, the hair of the dog.
Sure. Yeah.
No, the hair of the dog's just numbing out the pain.
But like, even putting dog hair in a cut.
Well, we'll try it. Sandy's here.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got a cut. I can cut your leg open.
Oh, no, I need her to bite me. It has to be her bite.
It can be arranged.
Okay.
She's a vicious little sod.
Well, yeah, we'll get her going. Sugar and obviously alcohol release dopamine in our brains. So when we're in a dopamine deficit, our bodies crave these as a short-term fix. Right? Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Secondly, allow me to focus specifically on motivation, which until recently I did not know had any kinds of link to dopamine.
I didn't know that at all. So when you're talking about motivation, you just generally mean a feeling like motivated generally in life?
I think it's both. I think it's motivated to find things that make you happy, okay, and also motivation generally.
Okay.
That's what I understand from it.
Yeah.
So more than anything, my hangovers were affected by a complete loss of that motivation. Motivation to be healthy, which explains binge eating, drinking, smoking, whatever it was. A lack of career motivation,
oh, yeah,
that made all the worse by the fact these hangovers usually fell on Sundays.
Yep.
Yeah, before the start of a long week. And I reckon that explains the high number of sickies that are pulled on a Monday.
Yeah.
Also, if you're an employer and someone calls in sick on a Monday,
yeah,
you know what's up.
We've got your number.
They know exactly what's going on. So I'll tell you about the time I asked if I could leave work early on a Friday because I was giving a speech.
Oh, yes. I think.
And the boss said, give it to me now.
Yeah.
There was no speech.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, bosses are smart.
Of course, if anyone wants a Friday afternoon and Monday morning off, they're
people
generally...
Know.
Yeah.
Or it's a bank holiday Tuesday and you pull a sick on the Monday. Like, come on.
Everyone knows. I don't know why we thought we were getting away with that for so many years.
Sometimes a lack of motivation for me was even just getting off my sofa.
Yeah.
Those are the days when my step count would be below 100. You know, it was like I walk to the door to get the pizza for lunch or dinner and then back to the sofa.
Yeah.
I'd be actually interested to know the record low step count
I bet
days.
It was like one.
That would be, one, you're not even going to the loo.
No.
I reckon I've definitely done under 100. I'm not sure if I've ever done under 50.
I knew a guy whose step count would be zero because he used to line up milk bottles next to the sofa when he was hungover and piss into milk bottles.
No.
Yeah, and then put them on his windowsill. And when you went into my house, it was my sister's flat in Ealing.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to go in and I looked up and I was like, what's that on that guy's windowsill? And he had bottles of piss up outside the window. Yeah, because he couldn't be bothered. He used to piss in them when he was hungover and then he couldn't bother to throw them away and put them on his windowsill outside.
Oh, that's
what
insane.
A weirdo. Yeah, it was gross. You always get one gross person at college,
true.
Don't you?
That is true.
It was me, actually.
if you're thinking I haven't got that person, you're the person.
I could show you, I'm really good at pissing in milk balls.
Oh, no.
Go on, get one now, Hamish.
Oh, no, I don't want this. Yeah, and the last thing I want to say is, when I was hungover, that would often, obviously more recently, be accompanied with just endless phone scrolling.
Oh, the worst.
And Anna Lemke, she actually writes that our phones have made us dopamine junkies. It's like every scroll on our phones feeds this addiction.
Yeah.
Because dopamine is now more accessible than it's ever been.
Okay.
You don't even have to get off the sofa to leave. You know, you get something from exercise or sex or whatever. Now we get a little bit of it just from scrolling on a phone and seeing a page. Oh, it's something that we did got a like. So we're even more addicted to it than we've ever been before.
Gosh, yeah. I was just going to say, Hamish, that I am definitely addicted to those dopamine hits on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I hate it about myself. And as you know, on holiday, I had a 6 weeks off my phone, which was enlightening, quite honestly. And I'll definitely be doing it again. Mm-hmm. I have to be on my phone. That's the problem with that sort of addiction, is that a lot of people are running their businesses on their phone, or they're running their lives on their mm-hmm. phones. So therefore, you have to be looking at it. I mean, that could be argued, but I do think it's difficult. It's like drinking and eating addictions. It's like you have to drink and eat to stay alive, like not alcohol, but there's problems there, isn't it? It makes it harder for ourselves to not be searching out something that we do need to be looking at anyway.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Let me share a quick tip, which I only heard yesterday, which was, it was the sleep expert was on Diary of a CEO, and he said, if you are going to have your phone in your room, you're only allowed to use it standing up.
Okay.
It's quite a good tip, isn't it? It's really just lie in bed and scroll for ages, and it's first thing in the morning or last thing at night.
And if I'm bored, I'll just go and lie on the couch and just flip through Instagram reels with my son.
So if you do it standing up, then you're allowed it in the bedroom.
Yeah, that's very good advice, actually.
I haven't done it. I'm not coming here.
Standing on one leg.
Yeah, nice. Skipping.
One of the dangers of standing on one leg, one of the dangers of consuming a dopamine-spiking substance like alcohol over and over again is that we build up a tolerance to it. Just like you can drink more and more like you did when you were 14, you also start feeling less of a dopamine hit.
This is something that has been proven not just in drinkers, but in skydivers. Their dopamine and adrenaline are so regularly spiked that it's very difficult to affect their dopamine levels in regular day-to-day life.
Oh, that is fascinating, actually. Mm. So they don't get as high unless they're doing the one thing that they know is going to give them the hit.
Well, it's like ultimate tolerance, you know? So we build up tolerance to alcohol because we drink a little bit all the time. If you drink a bottle of vodka every day, or, you know, skydiving every day, dopamine doesn't know what's inspiring it. Then it's harder to have the normal everyday spikes.
Yeah, God, I think we need to get into skydiving, Hamish.
Hell no.
No. The issue with this is that it takes more alcohol to get your dopamine high and leads to a longer lasting and more intense dopamine deficit period. So we know the role that dopamine played during our drinking years, but what about its role in sobriety?
Well, to explain this, Vic, I need to let you into one of the most unfair parts of going sober.
Oh, goody, came. Be my guest.
When going sober, you might just feel worse before you feel better.
Oh, bugger.
So trained are our brains in this manufactured, chemically altered high levels of dopamine that when alcohol is removed from our lives completely, we can experience one of the all-time lows or deficits. The reason for this, and why we encourage everyone to give up alcohol for at least 30 days, is because that is how long it takes for the dopamine levels in our brains to recalibrate.
Gosh, 30 days?
30 days.
So I reckon that's probably why people struggle a bit, isn't it, in their first 30 days of sobriety. Like, we always get questions like that on Cuppa, don't we? Everyone says they feel better, but I don't feel better. Yes. I'm struggling. I can't sleep. People really struggle in those 30 days and often relapse. This is an incredibly important truth that we try and remind people of throughout our podcast. Sobriety is a long-term win. It ain't easy for that first 30 days. It can be incredibly difficult, which is exactly why, what I just said, some people relapse. Not only can going cold turkey leave you feeling worse off than before, but it also doesn't fix all the issues that led you to developing a drinking habit in the first place. These will take time and a bit of work on yourself, not to mention some time with a professional too. Of course, we always ask you to see a professional about your drinking.
So how do you remember feeling in the early days of your sobriety then?
Well, I just remember thinking my life was kind of over because I hadn't felt the benefits yet. Mm-hmm. I thought I was destined for the scrap heap, Haim. I was forever boring because I wasn't going to be getting any of the hits that I had before. I thought life without my dopamine hit from alcohol seemed a bit pointless, that I would never have fun again. But time has passed and that has changed, and the benefits of sobriety, of course, have outweighed the downsides.
Do you know roughly how long that took for you?
I would say I started to really soar in my sobriety and realise that I wasn't searching out these hits after a year. Mm-hmm. I would say it took that long.
Yeah.
I'd say I was happier generally because I wasn't having anxiety anymore, but I would say it really took me a while to not be searching out other things to replace those dopamine hits for probably a year. Mm. Hangover-free Sundays were much better than that short-term high. I could see the benefit there, and I morphed into a new person. I was relieved that I could be authentic and didn't have to put on this stupid fun act all the time, which is something I still am relieved about. I found, in the end, natural ways to seek dopamine hits, ways that didn't involve me hurting myself or sleeping with a stranger.
That's the key.
Yeah. What about you, Hamish?
So I didn't have an immediate come down. And I think that was due to the fact that I wasn't drinking much by the time I gave up. It wasn't like a extreme amount and then I stopped and it was cold turkey. I'd sort of started tapering down when I moved to Queensland and then we had the baby and I was drinking even less and then I stopped. I felt like I didn't really have that dramatic change or come down. Mine actually came later in the hunt for new pleasures. I think it's important to remember, and it's not a bad thing at all, but most people who develop a drinking habit probably have a taste for the electricity of a high or a feeling of intense happiness, like feeling 10 out of 10. I spoke to a friend recently about the fact that going sober sort of, for me, feels like you sit between 4 out of 10 and 8 out of 10 most of the time. You don't have the ones and twos quite as often and you don't have the nines and tens quite as often.
It's that squiggly line that I talk about, you know, like you have the content line in the middle, you have the highs and the lows, and sobriety is that sitting on that content line but sort of sacrificing those highs,
yes,
which means you actually sacrifice the lows. So it levels it all out. You just generally feel better, but you are not going to have the euphoric highs that you had from these massive dopamine bundles upon you.
But most of us that did drink heavily, we loved that high.
Yeah.
So I think for years, we would justify those lows with the highs. And as soon as you go sober and those peaks and troughs disappear, the question is, how do you fill that gap?
Yes.
And that is where I found myself. I was like, right, I'm not having the highs anymore. What's next? How do I want it. You know, I still want to feel ecstatically happy. And I had to go looking for things to fill that gap.
And I wonder why, as humans, like, just to interject here a little bit, why are we always searching out these dramatic highs? Like, why as a society do we feel like we have to reach these peaks and troughs? Why can't we just choose to live? Why do we have to be injected with fun all the time, you know?
Well, because I think that the answer to life is to find the peaks that don't have the troughs.
Yes.
Like, what can I do that makes me unbelievably happy that doesn't have a cost?
Well, maybe it's just because we're looking in the wrong places. Mm. Maybe the things that, you know, the things that we've written down at the beginning of this podcast are actually very, very simple things.
Yeah.
And I think we spend too long trying to find out these highs, like skydiving.
Yeah.
Whereas in fact, for you and I, the sound of our children giggling is our favourite thing.
Yeah.
So we don't need to search anything out. It's right there under our noses. And that's what sobriety gives you. It gives you the opportunity to smell the flowers, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is look around you and notice that these things are enough, which is really a kind of euphoric moment in itself, because it means you don't have to go and bloody jump off the side of a cliff to feel happy. It means you just take the hand of your child or go for a walk or climb a mountain or do something cool that isn't extreme.
So maybe to relate that to dopamine, when you're drinking, you're doing something that gives you a huge amount of dopamine. You're doing it all night. You're doing it 3-4 times a week. Whereas maybe you need to find things that give you little kicks of dopamine, like a child laughing or us dancing in our kitchens or on our balconies, whatever, that together all add up to the amount of dopamine that you'd get from a big binge drinking session.
So it's like you're building a little dopamine wall, isn't it? So in drinking session, you're trying to build this massive wall of joy because you're in the moment and everything's going well. Of course, that wall falls down by the end of the night. But perhaps that is the key, Hamish, is that you find smaller hits of dopamine throughout your life that build a stronger wall and makes you happier for longer.
That's it.
Yeah.
I've been playing with children's building blocks this week. Yeah, I think that's too. What's happened here. We're both in building blocks.
The wall
block
is Lego.
It's Lego. Yeah, it's collecting connects.
Get Lego from your children. Build a very small wall and you'll be happy.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. That leads us nicely into our next point, which plays a role in everyone's sobriety. Without the alcohol-induced dopamine spike, how else can we effectively get our kicks? Some can be used for good, whereas others can lead us down a path to addiction, of course.
Okay, let's start with the good ones.
Okay.
We don't want to get people too down too fast. So I've spoken in the past about ice baths, and Anna Lemke talks about ice baths. She knows what she's talking about. It's a massive dopamine hit. It has been proven that it gives you a 250% spike in your dopamine that lasts for hours even after getting out. So Think of it like this. It's like the opposite of getting drunk. It takes you a long time to get drunk and you get this dopamine hit and then you feel crap for longer.
Okay? Yeah.
Or maybe you do 3 shots and you're drunk immediately and then you feel crap for ages, right? Ice bath, you're in there for like 3 or 4 minutes of pain and then you feel amazing for hours.
Okay.
It's like the exact opposite of a night out.
A good dopamine hit is exactly what Hamish and I have been talking about. Quality time with friends and family. Of course, if your friends and family are annoying, then that's not going to work, which they often are.
So just someone else's family.
Yeah, just go
find... You can borrow mine. Mine are
right. Knock on the door of someone's house and go and visit them and have a cup of tea.
Exercise. Now, exercise, I feel like, if I heard it in a podcast recommended by someone... You ignore it. You know, we all flipping know exercise is good and not doing exercise is bad. But there are two things I'm going to tell you about exercise here, which I think might help. Because hearing it from me is not going to help.
I feel like you're really aiming this at me. This might help you.
I have
you.
To look at you when I say this because you're the only other person in the room. So I'm feeling self-conscious. Okay. So the first is they did a test in rats. Okay. They always do tests in rats.
This one
isn't so bad. This one's a little bit bad. They did a test in rats where they compared those that had access to a running wheel to those that did not. So what they did is some had access to a running wheel for a few weeks, some didn't, and then they put them in a room where they could effectively give themselves hits of cocaine.
Okay? Oh, yes, I think I've seen
this.
The
ones that did the exercise previous, not only did they take cocaine less often, like tap the button or whatever it was less often, but over time they did less. So literally in regards to addiction and exercise or dopamine release and exercise, you can't argue with the science of it. Anna Lemke described it. She said exercise is better than any pill or drug that she can prescribe. Even if it's just a 5 or 10 minute walk every day, it's better than any medication out there.
Because it doesn't have a downside. It doesn't have a come down, does it? Mm-hmm. Going for a walk doesn't have any downside at all. Whereas the highs might be more high if you're taking a gram of cocaine. But then you've got to deal with that absolute horrible come down the next day. Yeah. So it levels out with a walk. I know it doesn't sound like it's quite as fun, but for me, a walk, there's no side effects to it.
Yeah,
I love going for a walk. It's like waking up after going out on an alcohol-free night. I know that I'm going to have a good time. I know I'm going to chat. I know I'm not going to do anything awful.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to wake up the next day and not have any dread or fear or humiliation of the actions that I've done. So there is a joy in that, which is a dopamine hit for me, which is just being sober and socializing. Mm. So therefore I'm getting that dopamine hit without the drug because there is no downside to it.
And it's not extreme. When people say you've got to exercise, I always think, oh, does that mean I've got to join a gym? Does that mean I've got to do a triathlon? Do I need to start training for a marathon? She's saying 15-minute walk a day.
Yeah, perfect.
Anyone can do a 15-minute walk a day.
Yeah. Amazing. Food, as we discussed on the last episode, you know, there's so much joy in food when you're sober because your taste buds will start working again and you just start enjoying and complaining more about it, which
but
is
also,
what I do.
There's a lot of foods which are very high in dopamine.
Okay, like what?
So I did research. Peanuts.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Avocado.
Yeah, love avocado.
Obviously chocolate. Chocolate, sugar, salt, there's dopamine hits in those. But yeah, some are healthy ones.
Okay, that's good.
Yoga and meditation.
Yes, we always mention those, but neither of us... Well, you do a bit of meditation, don't you?
Yeah,
I know these things
are good
for me.
I don't feel comfortable saying I do it often. I do a little bit sometimes.
I know that those two things would work for me. Mm-hmm. I don't do them.
Those are like right up at the top of the pyramid of like healthy dopamine hits.
Okay, that's interesting.
But yeah, neither of us do it. But no. The next one, we both do plenty of.
Dancing.
Dancing is our yoga and meditation.
Yeah. That's the thing. We can't do everything, can we?
No. And lots of steps in dancing. Depending on your style of dancing, I basically walk on the spot.
Oh, stomper.
Fast.
Stomper.
Yeah. So I did loads of steps in my dancing.
All right, stomper.
Thanks. No, I've had worse nicknames.
I like it.
I also find doing to-do lists really... I know it's dull.
I read this. I was like, Hamish, come on.
Is it too
much? This is too much. This makes you sound like the biggest... nerd that has ever walked
the
planet.
No, because I think I've then connected this to a sobriety thing.
Okay, go on.
I think that getting through a to-do list, actually finishing a to-do list, I actually find a bit anxiety-provoking, but ticking off a to-do list, I really, really enjoy. It gives me a huge hit of dopamine to the point where I'll write things on the list which take longer to write on the list than do, just so it's another thing on the list that I tick off. You ever done that?
No.
It'll be like, put the laundry on. Write it on the thing, then I go do it, and
tick.
I kick it off the list. But then I think, okay, is that
eat
just
breakfast.
Me? Eat breakfast, yeah. But then I think, is that just me? But then no, look at AA. AA is the 12 steps. And am I right in thinking you go through them one by one over the course? That's a to-do list.
It is a to-do list, yeah.
I reckon people are getting a dopamine hit from AA like the way I get from to-do lists.
I know what you mean with the to-do list. Like, I can see the angle you're taking on it, Hamish, but it makes me slightly worried about you.
I reckon half the people listening will be nodding and half may feel the concern that you feel.
But at the same time, I think maybe I need a to-do list. When you look around the room, do you think, oh, Vicky might need a to-do list because I have so many jobs to do that never get done because they're not written down anywhere and there's no
that
order.
Could be it.
And I'm the same with work. Like, I never know what I'm doing from day-to-day basis and I forget to do everything because I don't have a to-do list. So maybe I need to do one and then tick it off.
I write you a to-do list?
Okay, yeah. It? Don't put weird things on no. there, but yeah.
Do we ever post a photo of your kitchen floor after you guys got back from Thailand?
Oh, what was it? I can't remember.
So you do something that I think I also do, but it's not as dramatic because I don't have three kids, which yeah. is you get home from holiday, all of your clothes are dirty, they need to go in the laundry.
Yeah.
Vic, you just obviously emptied them out. Your whole kitchen floor was like an ocean of clothes.
Yeah, I did take a picture of me.
Did you do that? Yeah, 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 like I'm glad you've got that photo. Yeah.
I'm not very good with putting clothes away. I know what it is. It's childhood trauma. My mum was obsessed. No, it's true. My mum was absolutely obsessed with me having a clean room. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I think as an adult, I've just gone, oh, fuck it. I don't have anyone to tell me to clean my room up anymore. So therefore, it's going to be messy.
Okay.
So I've become like, I've rebelled against my youth. Yeah. Yeah. So generally, as you can see, Hamish, he's looking around Freddie's bedroom. It's
worn off. You've got so many bad memories, your mum telling you off about having an untidy room. You are not telling your own children to tidy their room.
I still tell them off.
Yeah. They don't know.
I'm not a great parent.
Of course, there are some slippery slopes, some dopamine-inducing activities that can lead us back to addiction. These include any other form of drug. We did an episode called Cali Sober, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And people go, well, I don't get my hits from booze anymore, so I'm going to smoke more dope, or I'm going to still do cocaine because it's not alcohol, so it's not that bad.
Yeah.
That is the slippery slope, as we have discussed.
Funny enough, I looked up the word dope because I wondered if it stemmed from dopamine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but actually it doesn't. Dope is a thick Dutch fluid that is related, and the drugs that were originally used, which were opioids, were a thick fluid originally, so they called them dopes, which is a Dutch word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's actually not related it to it being dopamine.
To this episode at all.
Yeah. But yeah, I did look it up because I thought it was related to dopamine.
Someone else will probably be thinking that.
That's
good.
Interesting. Sugar, of course.
We've already done a whole episode about that.
Yeah.
People also become addicted to food or to diets in their sobriety. I wasn't aware that this happened, although we're both on a sugar diet at the moment.
Yeah, even though we're both doing it.
Yeah, but yeah, people can get overly into their food or their diets, you know, maybe take the whole health thing a step too far to the point where it can actually be detrimental to your health.
Yeah, so it's like extreme exercising and extreme anything, like just going fully into something else, like swapping the wits for the bitch, like we spoke about on the Cali Sober episode. I think there is a danger in going from one thing to massively into another.
Yes.
It's like a boyfriend. I remember always had girlfriends growing up who would go from one massively serious relationship to another and to another and to another. Yeah. And you just think, just take a break and have a moment to sort of recalibrate and make sure you get in the right one. It's the same with this. It's like you don't want to go straight into something else. Take your time and find the right things for you and get those little hits instead.
I think anyone listening to this podcast, you know, has probably either been a binge drinker or been an addictive drinker or whatever, probably has that in them. Like, we like being all in on something.
Yes, definitely.
And if the alcohol is taken out of your life, then we're looking to be all in on something else. So it's a trap that I'm sure many of us fall into.
For sure. Yeah, and then there's sex, Hamish. I mean, people get addicted to sex. Russell Brand was a sex addict, I think, wasn't he? Yeah. He gave everything up. After heroin, I think. He was a heroin addict.
Did he take up sex after heroin?
After heroin. Because he went all LA for a bit, didn't he? And was sleeping around in LA. But yeah, he's given all that up now. He's got a nice wife and two lovely children. Good on you, Russell.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Russell.
Yeah, but you don't want to go sleeping around, like go from being an alcoholic to then sleeping around and getting knob rot.
No.
Do you, Hamish?
No.
But it's just one addiction for another again, isn't it? They're the risks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you get your kicks in your sobriety, Vic? And have you ever fallen into any of these traps that we've just been talking about?
I think I've been pretty stable in my sobriety, Hamish. For once, I can tell you, I think I've done something quite well.
Okay.
I don't get too far into anything nowadays. If I start not enjoying something, I stop. For example, I've been driving to a gym recently that was quite far away, and even though I was thoroughly enjoying it, I realised the drive was getting in the way of the rest of my life. So I've stopped doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I find other things. So now I'm walking up the mountain once a day, and like I'm quite, I can put things into a a box a little bit more and shut it off and try something else. Whereas before, I would have gone full into that thing and driven for miles every day. And now I think I'm much more of a chilled human, which allows me to make better choices around my lifestyle. Yeah.
Also, anyone that doesn't live around here is going to think that you climbing a mountain every day is you going all in on mountain climbing.
It's not Everest. It's not Everest. It's a small mountain that takes 40 minutes to get up and down. Yeah. It's the second biggest rock after Uluru, Hamish.
Is it?
Yes, Mount Coolum, yeah.
Because you're a mountain climber.
I'm a mountain climber.
Let's just say
yeah.
You're an extreme mountain climber.
I don't have gear on or anything. I just have my
crampons.
Yeah, I've got crampons. If you saw me climbing up there with crampons, you'd be like, "Who is this idiot? Everyone's strolling past." Yes.
People with prams and baby backpacks. Yeah.
My needs are less, Hamish, in sobriety is what I find. I'm relieved to not be searching out those highs anymore. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel the need for it. I accept the simple things like we talked about, nature, walks. I can see myself becoming a bit of a hiker, like I'm organising a trip with my best mate towards the end of the year, and there is hike talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, hike
that's,
chatter.
That's Spain, isn't it?
Yeah, Spain. We don't really know. We're not really sure yet where we're going to go, but like, we just know that there is talk of walk.
What is hike chat?
It just means we're discussing the local walks.
Okay. Do you own a pair of Merrells?
No, I don't yet.
Okay,
but it is something I will be doing soon.
Okay.
Merrells, a couple of Birkenstocks, a backpack, and I'll be saying, yodely, like that.
Yeah,
yodeler.
Maybe one of those backpacks has a straw that comes out of the shoulder
I'll get
strap.
The full gear.
Yeah.
And I'll get one of those sticks as well.
Oh, you need the sticks.
I need the stick, yeah.
And you'll be really proud when you check them in at the airport and they come round on the conveyor belt.
This is going to happen to me in my 60s. I reckon I'm going to be a full-on hiker.
Yeah. With trousers that zip off at the knee.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yes. Now we're talking. Although my next one is nakedness.
Yeah, you did get a skinny dipping recently.
I quite like being naked just generally. Okay. That's a bit of a dopamine hit for me because I know not many people are as naked as I am. So therefore, okay. I'm like, oh, I like being naked.
So where else outside of the local nudist beach?
Yeah, just on my street.
School pickups.
School pickup, yeah. Darling, mummy's here. Yoo-hoo. socialising with sober people. Not naked, Hamish. That is a dopamine hit for me because I love being around like-minded people and people that understand me and that I can be myself around and not have to worry about booze. And coming out of those, I always feel a bit high.
For sure. Yeah. Good conversations with good people.
Yes.
I think it's definitely a dopamine hit.
Yep. Craft with my daughter. She made a ballet school with hot glue this week. I love doing that with her. One-on-one time with each kid is a dopamine hit for me. All three is pretty intense. I try to avoid it as much as I can, but one-on-one I thoroughly enjoy. Yeah. I've got more, have I?
You've got half a page more.
Oh, bloody hell, there's a lot here, isn't there? Accepting my natural state, enjoy not giving in to my desires. It's a strength I find that I have developed over time. Sometimes I do fall into fad diets, but I've learned to love my body in sobriety. I did create three amazing lives that I can handle one-on-one.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always liked the way you talk about your body in that way, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how long that took you to sort of go from, oh, I need to lose this or tighten this, whatever, through a diet, to then be like, actually, I love my body. I made three humans. Did that take a long time?
Well, my daughter's asking a lot of questions about the human body at the moment. She's like, well, what? How do your eyes see? And how do you swallow? And where does your voice come from? And I try and answer them. And I'm just like, all you need to know, Nelly, is that the human body is incredible. Mm. Imagine all those things happening inside you to make you be able to see and how that's happened. And I think if you really look at what's going on inside your body on a day-to-day basis, you can't have anything but full respect for it. It is an incredible thing. So I think over time, as I've matured since giving up drinking, I've just learned that what an incredible vessel it is that keeps me alive and how proud I am that I've been able to produce three children and how privileged I am to age within this vessel. I just think it's a much better outlook than just looking in the mirror and go, oh my God, I look fat.
Yeah.
You know, I am who I am and I'm happy with who I am. I mean, sometimes I do get sucked into the odd diet occasionally because I know I feel a bit happier when I'm a bit lighter, but I know that that's toxic and I know that that's me being drawn into media and what women should be like.
True. Yeah. Also, it could be a dopamine thing. You know, the idea of self-rewarding or ticking off every week.
For sure.
And it could be that sense of accomplishment that comes through doing any course. Yeah. And I think a diet is kind of like a course, I suppose. Yeah.
And I suppose you get a dopamine hit when someone says to you, you look nice.
Yeah.
But actually, in society now, I find myself, I don't say to people, you look nice anymore, because I feel like it's irrelevant. Mm. I don't really care how someone looks, you know. If they're a good person, they're a good person. I'm like, how are you today? How are you feeling? Are you feeling good? Are you happy? Like, they're the questions I want the answer to. Yes. You look good, it just seems inane.
See, I'm okay with saying or hearing you look nice, because I think that implies...
You've dressed up.
Your hair, your clothes.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you look well, I reckon people have lost a lot of weight get told they look well a lot, and then we're associating well with losing lots of weight. I think that's like a black hole.
Yeah. It's another conversation at Hamish. Maybe we need to do an episode of that on how you look and how actually it becomes less relevant in sobriety. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm often don't wear makeup anymore and go out and just think, well, I don't really care what anyone thinks about me, how I look. It's totally irrelevant. Ask me how I am. That's important. So, yeah, I've become a serious sex addict, Hamish.
It's obvious to me. Loads of men next door in gimp suits.
Yeah, they're all knocking the door down. Actually, I'm addicted to not having sex.
Yeah, an interesting new addiction.
Yeah. Do not put me in a leather suit and spank me with a paddle, Hamish. No, I wasn't planning on it.
Wasn't my plan for the afternoon.
I thought that was always your plan. Yeah, I have a tendency to lean towards just going to sleep nowadays.
Yeah, sure.
I think that is something that happens when you're older or when you've been married for a long time and when you have three kids running around the house. And my poor husband, I do feel sorry for him. But there are a lot more headaches than there ever have been.
I'm full up for dopamine tonight. Yes. Don't frickin' touch me.
Yeah. I do think that is something to do with having children. Your body becomes your own. Yeah. And for me, something that definitely gives me a dopamine hit, this isn't going to sound good, is time alone.
Yeah.
I don't think mums take enough time out. I know my husband doesn't need that time as much, but I definitely do. But yeah, a day out for me on my own, going to get a massage, go for a walk, go for a facial, even just going to shops and going shopping, just buying myself a new dress or something. I feel that is a sort of dopamine hit for me. Mm. I enjoy time with myself now, and I think it's really important for me to do that for my mental health. So yeah, I do spend a lot of time hiding in the airing cupboard with a crunchie.
Yeah, nice.
What about you?
So I think, obviously at the moment, I'm really into these ice baths and the breath work, and they're hobbies that I'm loving. And I could see that maybe becoming a problem, in that the place that I go to do them is in Brisbane, and I do them at the weekends. So it is pulling me away from my family. So I might just need to keep an eye on that. If you say there's a local one, that does make my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I do really love the people that do the one in Brisbane. I'm doing this thing called Waves of Wellness. So I'm not sure if I've told you about this, but I know it's Australia-wide. So if you're in Australia, you should definitely look it up. It might be other places in the world. Waves of Wellness is, from what I understand, a surfing and mental health business, or what would I call it? It's not even a business. I guess it's a course. Yeah. So it's funded by Movember. So it's aimed at men, but really anyone can sign up. The group that I do it with is maybe 50-50 men and women. It is free because of the Movember funds. So once a week, we meet on the beach and we do maybe a 45-minute chat about mental health. And then we have a 45-minute surfing lesson. And it's completely from scratch. There's no one there that's any good. And I'm doing it every week. It's 6 weeks. And then they get, you know, another group in, whatever it is.
Great.
And it is fantastic. Yeah. And what I really like about it is something that, I don't know if I've spoken about this in the past, but the idea of learning something from scratch later in your life, of being really shit at a skill, and the humility that comes with that. And I'm really bad at surfing. And I quite like that feeling of being crap at something and trying really hard and trying to get a little bit better. And I think we do that less and less. And I think learning a new skill and getting better at something you're crap at is a dopamine hit.
Okay, that's so good. It reminds me of me doing the Thriller dance secretly.
Yeah.
Learning the Thriller dance. I'd never danced before, and me and all the mums got together and learned the Thriller dance and performed it. I've got another one coming up, which I'm going to actually secretly learn how to wakeboard. And we're not going to tell George. And I'm going to go and I'm going to learn over a few weeks. And then I'm going to go and just be brilliant at it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, George goes every weekend with John, doesn't he?
He's really goes every weekend, yeah. So he keeps going, Mum, you've got to go. You'd really love it. So I'm going to secretly go during the week.
Just backflip over
him. Yeah. I think surprises are a good dopamine hit, actually.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you hate surprises.
Unless you hate surprises, then it's a nightmare.
I think just generally being in and around the ocean.
Oh, yes.
Is one of the great joys for me. All ocean time. You sniff it mainly. It's a bit creepy how you sniff it when the rest of us are swimming in it.
I'm not near Hamish's armpit when I'm doing that.
Near my peeing child, and Nick comes over and sniffs.
Weirdo.
And we do daily exercise as a family. So it's...
Okay,
don't throw up. I mean, and Sonny doesn't do much, but we go to the gym as a couple every day. And Sonny comes and sits in his... He's in his bouncer or he's in his pram, quite happy. And that is quite nice. I think doing it as a team, I find a bit easier. If I was going alone, I wouldn't go as often.
There's no I in team, Hamish.
Oh, God. You're a walking sticker. So I think doing something that's both good for our relationship. I think it's good for us actually having time off Sonny, even though he's there, not neither of us are looking after him. He's just sitting quite happily. And it's obviously getting all your exercise kicks.
Are you competitive with each other while you're in there?
No.
No, okay, that's good.
We can't. We're different shapes and sizes. We're not competing.
You're stronger than her, are you?
I don't want to say that. She'll listen to this. and beer performing has always given me a kick. So although I don't act anymore on stage, doing the podcast, doing the radio, you know, all of those things, which I guess are kind of performery, or we've got live show, all of those things I get a huge buzz from. I think maybe because they're slightly frightening as well.
I don't know. It's that line between fear and excitement there, because I dread these things, but I do them because I know I'm pushing myself out of the comfort zone and I know it will give me that dopamine hit afterwards.
Yeah. I also think moving somewhere remote where, you know, I don't know that many people and I've got a newborn baby means I get to spend lots of time with just Liz and Sonny, which I love. I think it's like a privilege to be a dad and Liz's husband. So I love trying to get better at those two things, fathering and husbanding, every day. And I find that very rewarding.
I think you and I were very similar, Hamish, where we'd probably just be happy if we just took our kids off to a little island somewhere and just lived out our days living a very, very simple life. There's something to be said for that, isn't it? Just go and live amongst nature with the ocean at your front door.
But we've established there has to be a part of the island which children can't reach.
Yeah.
Every now and then. Really tall rocks to get through this part of the island.
Perhaps with a turret in the middle where you could go and climb with lots of stairs and be like Goldilocks.
Goldilocks?
Is she going a turret? It's the one with the long hair.
Is Goldilocks the one that steals the porridge from the bears?
Yeah, but who's the one with the long hair?
I know, I'm thinking Esmeralda, but it's not Esmeralda.
Oh, no, we're having a moment.
Esmeralda was my first true love.
Who was the long-haired one? Goldilocks?
It sounds right, doesn't it? But I'm thinking, isn't Goldilocks the one that ate the bear's porridge?
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Thing. Is that a porno?
What is it?
Esmeralda? We're rusty with kids' books. You should know.
God, what is that one?
So everyone's going to be screaming at the podcast. Yeah. It's freaking...
Can't remember, Hamish.
Georgie.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, but she's not the one with the hair.
She's got long hair.
Okay. Who cares? She's got nothing to do with this.
It's still really hot in here, isn't it?
No, that's just the pressure of trying to think of a name.
The key to a healthy, happy and long-lasting sobriety is to find out what fills your cup. Pun intended.
Yes.
In the absence of alcohol. These, of course, are just some of mine, but there are hundreds of others that might do it for you.
Okay, so we'll go through these one by one. We'll go through fairly fast because we've covered some of the big ones. But giving back.
What, that tenner you owe me?
Don't owe you a tenner. Get out of my wallet. So yeah, giving back to your community is a huge dopamine hit. Giving rather than receiving. I think a lot of people do turn to that, I think. They fill their time with charity often.
So you're much more of a giver than a receiver, are you?
Well done for keeping you straight face asking that question.
Thank you. And sleep, of course, we did our sleep episode. So it sounds like a dopamine hit will keep you awake, but actually having good sleep probably will make you out less dopamine hits because you won't feel the need because you just feel rested.
Yes, exercise and listening to music and meditating we've covered.
Yep, time in the sun sounds funny. Sex and human connection. Apart from my poor husband, eat foods and drinks that release dopamine. Some aren't necessarily good for you, like chocolate and coffee, but others like avocado, as you said, peanuts and green tea. What is green tea?
I think it was meant to just say green tea.
I read that earlier. I was like, what's the green tea?
Do you not drink green tea?
Okay. No.
just the advanced lots with
me. It's Hamish's special, it's bogeys, the green tea.
Oh, no.
Don't don't eat the green tea, Hamish. either way, we recommend avoiding processed foods.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rolling around in mud like a pig probably be nice too.
Yes, that would probably give you a dopamine hit.
Not in Anna Lemke's book, that one.
No, I added that one. Anna Lemke, Dr. Anna Lemke, roll around like a piggy. Time alone is often needed for a lot of people, especially in the witching hour, in that time where you think you need a hit, when you think you need a drink. Time alone, a walk, whatever you need to do, just even if it's 5 minutes out, is definitely, definitely a way of getting it.
All right, we're going to finish with a quote. This is from Dr. Anna Lemke herself. You're not even going to forget her name. I've said her name so many times episode. So she writes, "Abstinence resets the brain's reward pathway, and with it our capacity to take joy in simpler pleasures."
Yes, love that.
That is the key. That is the link between addiction and dopamine in one quote.
So true. That's what sobriety is. Simplicity, finding joy in simple things and no longer needing the hits. That is the key to contentment, Hamish.
Right, I'm off for a naked swim with some sober people, then a rave, then the ice cream parlour, then home. What are you up to?
I'm going to hug a tree and then I'm going home to pretend I've got a headache.
Oh, poor John. He's on duty again.
Yeah, he's sad face. Yeah. If you're questioning your relationship with booze, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time to reach out for some support.
Yeah, just talk to a mate about how you're feeling, contact a local doctor, find an AA or sobriety group. Vic's got one.
Yeah, just head to www.cuppa.community.
Remember, if you're questioning yourself, it might be time to seek support.
Even though this journey can be awkward, it is definitely worth it. And if you've enjoyed the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to review it, rate it, and share it with your mates.
Do they have to share it with their mates?
Yeah, of course they do. I'm not doing this for nothing, Hamish. Bloody hell.
How do they share it?
Hi there. I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I think every single one of you will benefit from. It's called Therapy Works, and it's hosted by me, Julia Samuel. I'm a best-selling author and psychotherapist. I invite you into my therapy room, where I speak to either a known or unknown guest. Topics range from the difficulties of divorce, a life-changing illness, to the struggles of motherhood. Search Therapy Works now, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So,
So, as you probably know, my comedy memoir, A Thousand Wasted Sundays, is officially out. All my magnificent fuckuppery in one awkward hit. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy, it's now available from all good bookstores.
We always say all good bookstores, don't we? Yeah. Are there bad bookstores?
I don't know. It's probably ones with moody sellers.
Oh, yeah, depressed librarian folks.
Yes, yes, okay, yeah, good. So there are probably some, but we're only storing it in the good ones.
It's only made it into the goodies.
You can also get it from all good online retailers. The print version and ebook are out now, and the audiobook will be available in March. I've been writing my memoir for 5 years. It will make you laugh, cry and cringe, and hopefully inspire a few people to reconsider their relationship with booze. If you love the podcast, then I think you'll love the book, even if I do say so myself. Hamish has read it. What did you think?
I feel like I know a little bit too much about you now, to be honest, Vic. Look, I really loved it. It was hilarious and surprisingly moving, but I feel like I've seen you naked in a literary sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From an emotional point of view, seriously, it wobbled my teeny weeny wooden heart, Vic.
Okay.
My teeny little wooden heart.
Well, his teeny little, his wooden heart is broken. Anyway, so if you do manage to get your filthy mitts on a copy, please do me a favour and head to goodreads.com and give me a review. Doing that will help me get it out there to those that need a bit of sober support. So there you have it. My story, unwanted warts and all. Come and get awkward with me.
Not to be too demanding or anything, but seriously, go and buy it
now. Yeah, go and buy it. Go and buy it right now.
Yeah, don't just tell your friends. Buy it and then buy your friends one or two.
Yeah, yeah, don't give them a copy. Yeah. Buy it, yeah.
And you know what? Don't be careful where you store it. If you lose it, you can always buy another five.
Yeah, buy another one.
Yeah.